What's up, everybody? Welcome to Declarations of War. I am your host, Alexei Card, joined by my brand new co-host, Jin Tan.
Hello.
Welcome aboard, buddy.
Hey, it's good to be here. I'm glad you liked me so much last time.
Yeah, for those of you that didn't hear the last episode, we had Jin come on just as a guest, but, you know, sort of behind the scenes, we were thinking about adding him as a co-host. Because, you know, this is Declarations of War. We like to have some CSM representation on the show. And, you know, he really expressed a lot of interest in doing it. And I think he did quite fantastic in the last show. So we're going to bring him back on a more regular basis going forward. And speaking of Jin, I want to give a shout out to all of Providence, the region that keeps on giving. It's a very generous, generous part of space. Thank you so much, everyone that lives there.
Okay, should have led into that. Yeah, my shout-out is going to be to everyone who attended Event eCardiff. That was an absolute blast, and thank you to the people who both organized it and came there. Didn't get too drunk, but it was a good fun anyway.
And of course, our sponsor, EveBet, eve-bet.com, New Eden's premier betting service, where you can bet on real-life sports with ISK. And as you know, the Alliance tournament is coming up, there's definitely going to be the ability to bet on that as well. They've handled hundreds of trillions in bets since opening, so they are a service that you can trust. Their website is awesome, the odds are industry standard, and they've got all sorts of casual games too. If you're not into, you know, sports betting necessarily, you can play blackjack, you can play slots, and they're always adding new sports, esports, and Eve stuff to bet on every week. Give them a shout out, eve-bet.com.
They also help to sponsor EveNT.
They sponsor a lot of stuff in the community. Definitely a site worth giving back to. All right, we asked our audience, where will the next major conflict start? And the options were in the north, in the south, in the east, and in the west. I was a little surprised at the result. Overwhelmingly, 50% believe the east will be the next spot of the major conflict. So that would be like Fountain, Cloud Ring, Outer Ring, Syndicate-ish?
That's the west, mate.
Oh, shit, that's right. Okay, that makes way more sense. East, yes! That's the drone regions, where I too predict drone regions. Either the drone regions or the far south. Like, the deep south. Like, Paragon Soul area.
That, I don't think the deep south is going to change anytime soon. I think the reason why people are very interested in the east is because there's currently effectively two relatively large, like relatively large in quotation marks, coalitions there. If you haven't heard my thoughts on coalitions, I think the age of coalitions is actually coming to an end, like the age where every alliance must be in one of two or three coalitions is going to slowly fade away. But I don't think that the actual impact on it of being able to have multiple cultures from an alliance standpoint exist together is ever going to go away. So in the east, we've got a lot of, we've got the Vanguard, the DRF, whoever the fuck XIX are with, and also FCON have just like decided they were going to throw their, lot into the pile in the southern edge of that. So there's a ridiculous amount of people there, and there's also a ridiculous amount of content there. And I think that's going to mean that once the current, hell camp, whatever you're going to call it, has been going on in Saarinen is over, I think you'll see a lot of the kind of more roaming alliances move east to get some of that sweet, sweet, dank frags. We've seen a lot of very, very small level super usage, like 10 to 20 supers being used, as well as, 30 to 40-man carrier groups that have been deployed as a countermeasure to, 110-man battleship fleets. So that gives just, a huge sway of things for people who very much enjoy killing those sorts of things to absolutely just run wild on.
Yeah, it's kind of got the makings of a powder keg, and there's just a lot of AFK SAV up there that would be easy to take. I think it's a tempting target, although the drone regions especially have their own issues. People don't see them as very desirable. I don't know why. I mean, other than that they're very hard to get to in terms of logistics, they're perfectly serviceable regions. Just, you know, they're occupied by Russians. It's very hard to get caps there. But now the caps go through gates, I feel like they're more accessible than ever. So it's just a matter of time till someone wants it bad enough and they realize that it's easier to take than ever before and they just kind of go for it.
Well, it's part of the North-South divide that's always been part of EVE, although in a different way. Effectively, the moons in the East have never been as good as they have been in the Northwest, which has historically been one of the best, the North and the Northwest, which have historically been the best places for moons, and I think that still continues to today. So, people over there in that area of space have almost always kind of gone to renting, and a lot of alliances give a shit about renting, because it's a pain in the ass, and not particularly fun to manage.
That is true.
When someone attacks your moon farm in decline, you're like, sweet, I'm going to get a fight. When someone attacks your renters in Malpay, you're like, okay, cool, I just have to ignore them and maybe they'll shut up.
Speaking of Saarinen and the Siege of Saarinen, it continues to continue. Goons have been undocking. That's of note. Apparently PL has decided that they're bored and have moved elsewhere, so goons have, you know, felt a little more feisty lately. They've been undocking a new fully tanked battleship doctrine, to which the alliances like NC Dot and Horde have been anxiously engaging. And the results have been interesting. I was in one battle yesterday. I've got it linked here in front of me. Pretty much a knockdown, drag-out, slobber-knocker type fight. 56 battleships were killed, along with 11 Logis on the Goon side. And on the Allied side, I guess, I don't know what we're called anymore, but the MBC, or what's left of the MBC side, lost 22 strategic cruisers in the exchange. Wound up being a good-sized win for NC Dot, but a far more even exchange than you would expect, given the way things have played out. And we fully deployed supers. I mean, there's just tons of Nyxes and Aeons all over the place. No supers on the CFC / Goonswarm side. Be interesting to see how these fights evolve if they ever decide to whip those out.
From what I understand, the super fleet of Goon is not as well centralized as it was, you know, about a year ago. The conquest and specifically the hell camping of a lot of super staging posses was so quick that many people haven't been able to extract their assets yet.
True, but they still have some. My understanding is that the reports of how much of their super fleet was successfully pinned down was a little bit exaggerated. So they have a sizable reserve somewhere.
Even if you've lost, you know, maybe 10% of your super fleet to being capped in, if you're going to deploy your super fleet, you are going to lose a lot of that. If you're facing the might of NC and PL, which is probably the biggest combined super cap fleet in the game at this point.
Yep, true. I mean, even just the NC super fleet, I'm looking at it here on the kill board, it's substantial. And even with that, though, they only won by 60 to 40% ISK-wise. So the Goons did well.
Strat cruisers, and don't forget that they've got insurance behind them those T1BSs as well. So it's probably actually a win in ISK overall.
Yep, I'd say the Goons definitely overperformed expectation-wise. It was a fun fight to be in, even though it was really crazy. Tie-dye wasn't really that bad. I think it hit maybe 40%-ish. Very serviceable fight, no grid problems. Just enjoyable. Point-blank battleship versus strategic cruiser versus super slug-out. It's pretty awesome, actually. We tried to have a repeat of that today, but they decided no. They would just stay docked this time. But who knows? We'll probably see more of that in the future. I hope so. I hope the Goons are encouraged by their performance yesterday and decide that this is a strategy they could pursue with some increased numbers and frequency. Because I would love to have more fights like that. Win or lose, it was just a lot of fun.
There's something so great about, you know, just riding into battle, those kind of big slugfests, though. Even if they're not over an objective, there's something just very, 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 very visceral about seeing ship after ship go down, whilst ship after ship of your own people go down. It's just, you know, madness. It feels like you're in the middle of a battle, you know? Like, yep, a real battle.
In other big news, this is more development news, but a moment of silence for the in-game browser.
It actually still exists, you realize that, right? It just went auto open. It's going to be removed in October.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a dark day when it goes, though.
Rip Fleet Porn forever.
Yep. Rip being able to click GIFs when you're waiting on Titans. Just those GIF rotators. Going to be gone.
It's a sad day.
Yep. Yep. It's dark times. But, yeah, the in-game browser is going away. It doesn't auto-open anymore, and like Jin said, it'll be gone completely by the fall. It's, pretty... I mean, CCP's reasoning is quite solid. Browsers take a lot of work to keep up to date. It's a huge overhead for CCP to do that, and to be honest, there are companies like Google and Firefox that do it fantastically well, and there's no reason to try to build another better version of that. So I get that. I would love to see maybe a way for them to integrate third-party browsers into the client so it doesn't pop up a window entirely, but I think with so many EVE players investing in multiple monitors now, it just probably makes sense for them to do this. And hopefully it frees up development resources for them to go do something cool. Also going away, the daily missions, where you would go out, kill an NPC, get some skill points. CCP is turning those off. They said that they've got all the data they wanted. It was successful at getting people to go out and do the thing, but didn't actually affect their DAU numbers, their, you know, login numbers. Which makes sense, because I think the reward was pretty weak, not really compelling enough to get someone to log in if they weren't already going to play. I wish they would have oriented it more toward a PvP kind of thing, but c'est la vie.
I don't think that they're ever going to make it be a PvP thing, because that's not a significant percentage of their actual subscribers. Like, 70% of people who play this game are in high sec, and that's something that we have to remember from a game design perspective. And what they realized was that people weren't considering that to be an incentive for them to log in. Like, it was a nice bonus for them, but it wasn't making people in high sec or people in low sec or even people in null sec log on. It just didn't drive the amount of content that was needed.
It was, what, 10,000 skill points?
Yeah, it was like a significant chunk of change. If you're like me and you have hit that point where of diminishing returns within SP value that it's worth like 64 million or something ridiculous, it still wasn't enough to get me to log on much. All it did was occasionally get me to, before I went on a fleet, undock and warp to a belt in my ship and kill a rat and then dock back up.
Right.
But I do think that getting SP for certain tasks is something that has a potential future within the game. This isn't something from like a, oh man, CSM leaks kind of perspective, but this is me putting my game developer hat on. I really do think that it's something that CCP now have like an actual way of doing in the game, which is great. And I think that we will probably see some other attempt at getting, if not dailies, maybe on a weekly basis, some reward for logging in to make continued activity within the game be more incentivized, as opposed to just logging off, putting plus fives in, and going AFK.
That makes sense. I think CCP is interesting in that, due to their subscription model, they almost really don't care how often you log in, as long as you keep paying. But I'm sure there's some correlation between the two. I don't know. It would have to be something way more considerable. I mean, 10,000 skill points like means practically nothing
like
to
me. It was like 6 hours of training. That's a decent amount of time.
When your days start to measure, and like, I'm training a 60-day skill now. Eh. Like, okay, I'll go out, I'll kill a frigate. A, that's not a very compelling task in the first place. Feels like busy work. And then B, the reward is not oomphy enough.
Yeah, I will say that TS prior to us, because we had very, very little impact on the development of that feature, it was something ready to ship by the time we got in. To give you a kind of example on the speed at which stuff operates within CSM and CCP. So far, the only actual feature that had impact on was the Shadow, the 11.6 fighter changes, and the Shadow of the Serpent new UI thing.
Speaking of the Shadow of the Serpent, that's an excellent transition to our next topic, which is the Shadow of the Serpent. This is going to be a new PvE event. Looks super interesting. Certainly the rewards look interesting. The Serpentis capital ships are fucking amazing looking. Really want to get my hands on a Serpentis Moros. They're taking what they claim is a new approach, and that instead of trying to hide, well, I guess it is a new approach. Instead of trying to promote it through, you know, hearsay or being in the right place at the right time or a cryptic forum post, they're straight up telling you, almost like a mission, go here, do this, get this reward. Is that a fair layout, Jin?
Kind of. It's effectively more a visibility thing. You'll still be able to just randomly stumble on the sites. They're still just going to be in space. But basically what it does is it gives you a quote-unquote radar to allow you to find shit if you want to go participate in the missions. What they found was that during a couple of the last ones, that there were people who wanted to go and find these sorts of sites, but didn't quite know where they were or how to do them. So what they're doing here is they're trying to make it easier for people to get involved. There's also some other stuff, like they're segregating out the rewards from the site itself to and an overall reward. I can't talk much about the overall rewards. I'm pretty heavily, I'm not sure of what is NDA and what isn't there. But if you will be getting points for completing sites, and that will go towards getting crates. And those crates aren't randomized, by the way. It's just currently being hidden behind that sort of thing so that we can't see the rewards yet. Those rewards are static. From what I know, at least.
I like the overall reward aspect of it. I think that's a pretty cool model.
Yeah, I actually like it too. I think it's something that's super interesting. I wish they had missions, like the actual missioning structure of the game be something more close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that interests me a lot more. It's a lot more player-to-player interaction. But hey-ho.
As far as the radar thing, I think it's fine. I mean, I feel like the best solution for EVE, the best model, is to actually have both of these things. Where you have, you know, big general events that everyone can get into. It's easy to find out how and where. And also some rare, you know, more cryptic things where you actually do have to pay attention and piece things together and, you know, plan out to be at a certain place at a certain time or do the right thing or whatever it is. You know, those kind of events are fun too, especially if you're, you know, a player that's into that kind of thing, like a more role-play, investigative-y aspect to EVE, and there are definitely players like that. But I don't think there's any reason why both can't exist in the same universe.
Oh, no. Yeah, I agree. Like, it's a feat that I'm pretty interested in. I just want to see, like, the numbers behind it when those get found. You know, I want to know if that led to a significant increase in the amount of people who do them. And more importantly, the amount of people from a PvP standpoint who've been able to go and sit in those complexes and blow up people who are trying to farm them. Oh, also, there's a part of that which wasn't put on the dev blog but has been widely we just had some technical difficulties there. I was lagging pretty badly. Can you
sound good now?
Okay? Okay, that's weird.
Something about the dev blog?
Yeah, dev blog. Yeah, in with regards to the dev blog, there was a feature that's actually in, at least was intended to be put in, that wasn't mentioned on the dev blog, but has been talked about by CCP Affinity on Slack. She has let it known that if you help someone else complete a mission, so you see that you get those like three kind of objectives is what I'd call them. You have to go and you can go through them and you get your points, and then they come back at a certain time, I think. I'm not entirely sure how they refresh, I'll be honest. If you help someone else complete their objectives, you also get their points. So if you do an objective that was 100 points with your friend, or your, more importantly, your new bro who you're trying to teach the basics of the gameplay with, you will get 100 points as well.
Oh, nice.
So, and a little incentive to teach people, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's true. More of an incursion-y style group PV reward than a mission style, you know, solo encouragement, because otherwise the rewards get split in half. Cool. Jen, since we're getting into the CSM territory anyway, do you want to go ahead and give us a CSM update?
Sure. What do you want to know about, really? It's kind of hard to direct myself towards a particular topic within the CSM, because we do talk about quite a lot.
I'd love to know, in the past 3 weeks or so, you know, at a super high level, you know, obviously you don't say anything that would be NDA'd, but super high level, past 3 weeks, what areas have you guys been focusing on? Either, you know, what general things have you been talking about, or what have you specifically been interested in and trying to bring forward to CCP?
We've kind of gone past that initial phase of going directly to CCP with our ideas. We're now kind of in the phase where we're just sitting back. We're taking a look at the roadmap. We now have access to the roadmap, which is a huge thing. We've been waiting for that for a while because they had to clear it. But we've been giving a lot of feedback on things that CCP have planned in the near future. So within like the end of summer sort of region. I literally cannot talk about anything involved in that, but hey, it's good stuff.
No, that's great.
We've been giving a lot of feedback on balancing. For example, I can say that the CSM was pretty instrumental in the whole removing introducing of ECM immunity back to capitals. Not myself, primarily that was Noobman, Hyde, and I think Bobmon. They were very, very forward on that. And I think it's a great change that really reduces a lot of frustration.
Can you clarify for the viewers that aren't up to date on that, whether it's just like dreads and carriers and triage, or whether it's supercaps as well?
No, supercaps can still be ECM'd as far as I'm aware.
Alright, so you have to actually activate the module to get this benefit.
Yeah, it's basically if you're using something that will lock you in place, like a triage or a siege, you will no longer, or even a bastion if you're in a marauder, you can no longer be jammed with ECM. You will still be affected by things like tracking disruptors, sensor damps, etc., but basically don't bring a Tengu to a triage fight, which was something that was specifically affecting wormholes, I'm told.
Oh.
Yeah, not something that's my area of expertise, but hey, it's a good change, and people have been pretty receptive of it.
Still looking forward to that general ECM revamp. Someday, Jin, someday.
Yeah, one day. We've also been made aware of Summit stuff, but we can't talk about that. We also were the people who was just screaming at CCP to do something about the Alliance tournament, and that happened. I think that was like the only thing we talked about in one weekly meeting.
Brilliant. All right, great. All right, closing this up with host highlights. Mine is a shorty but a goodie, just like the event itself. I hopped on, I think, Thursday. Finally got a chance to play Eve. Been super busy at work. Came on, really wanted to do something, and I was in a mindset that nothing would stop me. So I logged on. Turns out there was a fleet up, but they were over 30 jumps away in Providence, and I was in Saarinen. I was like, ah, shit. I really want to play, though. So I hopped in my crow, and it's like, you know what? I'm just going to fly down there and see what's up. So I hopped in. I flew all the way down there. They were doing a Kronos roam, which right there had me kind of sold as something pretty hilarious. So they were doing like a roam with like three or four Kronoses and like two interceptors, something like that. I rolled in with my crow. I get there. Within 10 minutes, I have tackled a carrier. And I held the carrier down with enough time for us to get a hick onto the carrier and for the Kronoses to come in and kill him. But the fighters did claim my crow's life. The carrier was very well fit, about 3 billion in ISK, totally worth my crow's loss. So I flew down there about 30, 36 jumps. I spent 10 minutes in fleet, tackled a carrier, got killed, flew 30 something jumps back, and that was my Thursday. So it was like,
oh, Providence.
Yeah. So definitely worth it. Was a great fleet. Even though it was quite short. I count it's definitely worth the trip. Jin, what about you? What's your highlight for the past 2 weeks?
My highlight for the past couple of weeks has definitely got to be being in Faction Warfare. So EVA has rejoined Faction Warfare after the Midmitar won the entire thing, quote-unquote, mainly because everyone got bored and left. We have been leading the charge in retaking the southern areas of Faction Warfare, and it's been absolutely great fun. Being able to bring kind of a Nullsec understanding of Doctrine levels and Doctrine Theory crafting to the Warzone has been challenging. apparently bigger is not always better. But hey, it's been pretty fun, and I definitely think we should have done it a long time ago, because it's helped us train a lot of our younger FCs. And also, I've got to solo PvP a lot, which has been, you know, an absolute joy, even though I do just sit there and lose fucking 100 mil frigate after 100 mil frigate, because I'm actually really bad at this video game. Good at telling other people how to play this game, not good at actually playing it.
Right? Now, for all those out there that are going to hate on my story, like, oh, Alec, why didn't you warp off like you always tell everybody to do? Because it was a carrier, bros. Look, it is absolutely true that if you have a choice between getting your ship killed or you not being tackled and you can just warp away and warp back, you should almost always do that. But when your ship is worth about 30 mil, and the target you're tackling is worth 3 billion, and you staying on field that extra second or two is the difference between getting that thing tackled by a heavier ship that can hold it and you dying, you hold on to that motherfucker like a bulldog. And you do not let go. No matter how badly those fighters ravage your poor, defenseless crow, who never really did anything to anybody in his life. I'm gonna miss him so much. I've been going through crows actually quite a bit, so a little desensitized to it actually.
Don't talk to me about interceptors. I hate interceptors with a passion.
They're so good.
I had a great conversation with my fleet the other day. I basically just realized that interceptors are like weather. Like, you can't do anything to change them. You've just got to accept that the interceptors are there.
That's deep, man.
Yeah. And like, sometimes someone gets really, really damp and they die, and then you know, whatever. It's not a great analogy.
Well, there is one thing you can do to them. Right, that's a nice segue. Jin has provided me with all the segues. Into our fit of the week. The Alex Stone Cold fit of the century of the week. Which is the Algos.
Century
you guys
of
may
the
remind
week.
This. Or, wait, what's that shit?
Century of the week. I
yes. Stone cold fit of the century of the week. This is the Algos. If you guys remember from way back, maybe a year and change ago, when we did the Flight of the Algos event, this motherfucker is a just badass ship. You can solo in it, and it scales well as a group. And if you upgrade to Omegas, you can actually plate it, put some Logi in there, does great. The concept is a fully self-contained Algos that is great for 0-0 roaming. You've got a damage control, ancillary armor repper, and a DDA, which is a drone damage mod in the low slots. Mid slots, micro warp drive, cap booster, long point. And in the highs, you've got blasters and a neutralizer, with rigs specially fit to increase the armor repper. So you got the auxiliary nanopump for explosive. Excuse me. You got the auxiliary nanopump, the nanobot accelerator, and an anti-explosive pump rig. Just shores up that little resist hole for Warrior 2 drones. Now, the concept you might think is, oh, why do you have blasters and a disruptor? Why not a scram? It's because the blasters are not for that. The blasters are for point defense only. The idea is you go out roaming. You know, you're hitting way harder than an interceptor, so your engagement profile is higher. You find something, you point it, you kite it between 20 and 24 kilometers, and put your drones on it. You're pretty fast. Anything that's faster than you, you could probably kill, or is a vagabond, in which case you're probably fucked anyway. So you can go out there, you can go catch a ratter, you can go, you know, catch some frigates that are trying to solo, you can fight off a T-3 destroyer, maybe. You use the drones, which it gets a pretty sizable bonus to, and just kill it at range. Now, if something does close on you, like, for instance, a frigate, well, then you've got the newt to turn off their prop mods, and you got the blasters, which track pretty well, and you can basically just shred them. It puts out an insane amount of damage. It's also great in a fleet fight situation. If you do have something disabled, or, you know, it's got long-range guns and it can't hit you, or it's a logistic ship and it can't has no offensive capabilities anyway, then you can have your fleet dive on it and apply blaster damage at point-blank range, again, putting out absolutely incredible damage for such a small ship. I mean, we're talking... if you go void and overheat, you're going over 500. Over 500, oh, not quite over. Like 452-ish. Still, pretty great. You're looking at about 400 DPS, even with not perfect skills, per ship. That's pretty great. And the total cost is insanely low. It's, I think, like 13 mil a pop, give or take. We took a fleet of about 20 of these, plus a little bit of interceptor support and a dictor, and a handful of logistics frigates. This is back when the Tech 1 Logi frigates were around. I think we had three or four of those. We rolled out to 0-0, Providence as a matter of fact, and we got into a fight with a Hick and a Baden, a Hurricane, and two Guardians, plus a handful of frigates. Came out on top. The Guardians landed in the wrong place. They were 50 kilometers or so off of their Hurricane and Abaddon. So we just moved from tackling the Abaddon. We just kicked the micro warp drives on, flew right on top of the logistic ships. DPS one down, DPS the other down, moved back and killed the rest of the fleet. We lost a handful of these things, but killed so much more. It was so worth it. These things are excellent efficiency fighters. Flexible engagement profile against frigates and heavier ships, and scale really well as a wolf pack. So you can go out and solo with it. You get three or four friends that happen to log on with the same ship. It still scales pretty well. I highly recommend it. Go out there, try it out. You can find the exact fit on the blog, or excuse me, on the episode post, wherever you're listening to this. Go out there, try it. Email me your battle reports. I want to know how you guys did, and we will read them on the air. This thing is super skill point accessible. You can even T1 the blasters if you don't have those skills. no excuse. It's super cheap, super easy to get into. Go out there, have some fun. Let me know how it worked out for you. Finally, guys, we have an advertising spot available on Declarations of War. If you want to get your website or your alliance or your service or your business advertised, kick me an email, AlexeyofCard. Happy to discuss price. And that's it, guys. Go to declarationsofwar.com to participate in our show poll and leave a comment on the episode. Good hunting, listeners.
I wish we were having as much fun as they are. Well, sweeping can be fun, too. Sweep, 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 sweep. Sweep, 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 sweep. Sweep, 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 sweep. Sweep, 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 sweep.